All right, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And I just wanted to put your attention down to verse number 4 where the Bible says, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the title of my sermon this morning is Dancing in Light of the Bible. Dancing in Light of the Bible. I've been preaching through a summer vice series, and dancing is one of those things that kind of seems to increase during summer. Now, I'm not whether dancing is good or not, you know, in the Bible, of course, is based upon the context of what kind of dancing it is. So now dancing, you know, Baptists are historically known for not dancing. Who's heard that before? Baptists just don't dance. I'll just tell you one thing. I don't dance. It's not a pretty thing to see, even if I did try. So I just don't dance. But I've never been good at it, even when I did try it. So like, it's not something that's, you know, it's not something I struggle with, of the desire to just get out and dance, okay? But I've seen some people asking questions about this lately, and I preached about this a long time ago. I just kind of want to cover what the Bible actually says about it, because that's what's truly important is, you know, people could say, well, dancing's always wrong, but what does the Bible say? That's what we need to go by. So just wanted to look at the positive mentions of dancing in the Bible and also kind of the negative aspects when it comes to dancing. And this may or may not be my last vice sermon. It's not quite summertime being over yet. The 20th of September is technically the end of summer. So anyway, like I said, it's kind of it's like wine in the Bible. Wine depends upon the context of what type of wine it is. Wine isn't always alcoholic. Wine is either, it could be freshly squeezed grape juice, which I've proven in times past very easily. When the Pharaoh's butler squeezed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup, he was squeezing wine into it. So, you know, what does that tell you? It didn't turn alcoholic as soon as it hit his cup. So it was freshly squeezed grape juice. So it's the same thing with dancing. Like, what type of dancing is happening here depends, what type of dancing you would do is dependent upon whether it would be sinful or not. So, and dancing for reasons of joy, you'll see in the scriptures, that's what it's connected to. And I'll show you that here in just a minute. But dancing in the setting of worship or in a believer's personal home, I believe are permissible, as we'll see. And even in like a feast, you'll see in the feast of the Lord, there was some kind of dance that happened. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And again, we don't know what that dance looked like. That's the problem with the whole incorporating it into worship, is that we don't know what that looked like. And we don't know what it does look like or what exactly that means. So I think that erring on the side of caution when it comes to, like, now you're like, Pastor, are you going to just start incorporating dance moves into our song service? And the answer to that is no. All right. In the great church that's going to be in heaven, the church of the firstborn, where we're all together, and the Lord Jesus Christ can teach us what dance moves are acceptable, then I will dance, okay? And maybe it will be okay at that point for me to do that. But I'm just going to err on the side of caution. I'm not going to incorporate something that I don't know whether it's the right thing or not. So, but if you want to dance privately in your own home, then go ahead and do it. But if you're dancing to some mosh pit music, you know, you and your family are just pushing each other and doing crowd surfing or something like that, that's not, I don't think, the Bible dancing that it's talking about, okay? Or if you're like break dancing, like that one, you know, kangaroo chick or whatever from Australia, I don't think that's the dancing in front of the Lord that it's talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Ray Gun or whatever? So there's some classic memes. If you haven't seen who Ray Gun is, you got to check that out. First, you got to see the full uncut video of every dance move that she does. It's the most bizarre thing you'll ever see. And, you know, if you've ever seen Breakin' or Breakin' 2 back in the 80s, they would put her to shame in a heartbeat. But anyhow, so now, of course, you got sensual dancing where it's, you know, people could be perfect strangers and they're touching each other and dancing in a way that is not appropriate, or revealing too much of their body, which is also not appropriate, or just revealing every part of their body, which is definitely not appropriate. And, you know, people nowadays, just anything goes when it comes to the realm of dancing. People are putting poles in their houses and just teaching these things as if it's just okay. And I'll tell you what, God, that's not what God's talking about here in dancing. So there's not a time ever to do those kinds of dances. So when it says that there's a time to dance, that's not what he means, all right? So growing up, of course, dancing is a big deal. I mean, dancing today in this world, every year the Super Bowl has some satanic Baphomet worshiping, you know, freaks come out that some are retired from long past. You know, they'll have Snoop Dogg roll out in his wheelchair and, you know, bow, wow, wow, or whatever. And then some other new satanic, you know, person that they roll out. And in the background, you got all these people just dancing and, you know, doing all these kind of crazy moves, right? And it's just like, what is this? The satanic halftime show is what it usually is. And every year they like try to just up the ante more and put more satanic imagery in it. So, I mean, there is definitely a connection with that. But, I mean, in high school they had dance team. They had it in middle school, you know, where women are just not leaving much to the imagination, and that's the outfits that they have to wear to do these things. You know, cheerleading is not really dancing, but it kind of is a little bit. Ballet, people say, well, what's wrong with ballet? Well, I mean, you're not leaving much to the imagination, right? And then figure skating is not really dancing, but it kind of is. I mean, they're flipping each other through the air. They're dancing in some kind of a rhythmic style, but, you know, again, you know, women are, you know, exposing their nakedness. And so those types of dancing and just like dancing that people do professionally a lot of times is not appropriate for a Christian. Like if a Christian wife was to dance with some professional dancer, you're going to have to get up close and personal. Like if you're taking private dancing lessons or something, you know, they're going to teach you stuff or show you things that you have to get up close to another man that's not your husband. And they're going to have to show you things and do things with you that, you know, is just not appropriate. So again, there's definitely, I know all the sinful types of dancing that there are, but the godly types of dancing are a little more difficult to frame out. So I think Jack Hyles called it hugging standing up is what he calls dancing or whatever. But so the first thing I want to show you, let's look back in our text again where you're already there. It says in verse 4, so in Ecclesiastes, it's talking about there's all these times to do different things. He's just, you know, he's explaining, you know, all these different things that you do under the sun. He's giving some examples. And it says a time to weep and a time to laugh. So those things are the opposite ends of the spectrum, right? You're either really sad, you know, it's really sad, or you're laughing. And then it says a time to mourn and a time to dance. So what does that tell you? Well, when you're mourning, that's not the time to dance. But when you're, what, joyful, then that would be the time to dance. So it is, it's kind of helping us define what dance is there, isn't it? It's something that you would do when you're happy, or something to do when you're joyful or rejoicing in something. So it's, I mean, that's pretty interesting how it defines it for you like that, but that's what it says. It's giving you kind of the opposite end of the spectrum there, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And you'll see in the Bible when dances were done that it's usually at a time of great victory. Like, I didn't put this in my notes, but if you think about Miriam in the Bible, I think it was when they crossed the Red Sea, then she came out with timbrels and dances with the ladies. And I guarantee you it wasn't some kind of dance team where they're flipping and doing cartwheels and throwing each other up in the air, okay, and exposing their nakedness. That's not what it was. What was it? I don't know what it was. The Bible doesn't say the exact moves and steps that they were doing. But to me, I don't think it was some kind of sensual, worldly dancing. Why? Because it's something that the Lord was good with. The Lord was okay with that. And so there is a time to rejoice and dance. And most people get really excited, like if their favorite team scores a touchdown or hits, you know, a game-winning three. Or, you know, in sports, people cheer and they'll, you know, you'll see people dancing when they, you know, something exciting happens. I'm sure you've seen commercials where people are just like, you know, jumping around and doing like the happy dance. I'm sure you know what the happy dance is. Someone wins the lottery or something, or, you know, just some great thing happens and you're really excited and you're jumping up and down and running back and forth and high-fiving everybody. That's kind of like a happy dance, right? And, you know, I see children do it. So when you see innocent children jumping around and being excited about stuff, to me, that's probably what an unorganized dance that's not sinful would be. You know, children are, when they're innocent, you know, they haven't, you know, done a bunch of sinful stuff, and when they just naturally do some kind of running around and skipping and, you know, they're kind of just frolicking around, to me, that's what I feel like is probably the type of dancing that God's talking about. The, a joyful, happy dance that you're doing. Look what it says in verse 5. It says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. So see, it's the opposite things that are being done there. A time to embrace, so like a time to hug, right? And a time to refrain from embracing. Kind of tied to what I'm talking about because, you know, and when it comes to dancing, that would be the time to not embrace other people. You'll never see in the Bible when people are dancing that they're hugging each other, that men and women are like doing some kind of dance where they're, first of all, just touching at all, and then secondly, where it's a woman that's married to another man is dancing closely with another man that's not her husband. It's just not, you just don't see that in there. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, though. Jeremiah chapter 31, let's look at some other scriptures here. And these are the positive mentions here. So Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12, the Bible says, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. So the context is that Israel's been cursed and now they're beginning to be blessed again. And then it says, and then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. So see how it's connected to rejoicing and great happiness because of the blessings. And it says both young men and old together. So it says, for I will turn their mourning into joy. So again, it's connected to, you know, not being in mourning anymore, but it's turned into joy, therefore they're dancing, right? And it says, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. So a positive mention of dance connected to the blessings of God, not connected to, you know, it's connected, it's basically defining again that it's based upon rejoicing in God's blessings. Look at Isaiah chapter 13, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 21. And this might give a little more precedence to the disorganized skipping and, you know, playfulness back and forth or whatever, the kind of like how kids dance, you know, when they're, you know, obviously just dancing to because they're happy about something. Now, look at Isaiah 31:13, verse 21. It says, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. So, dance there, and, you know, when animals, have you ever seen animals just kind of wrestling around with each other? And they're, like, dancing back and forth, trying to, like, you know, get the other one. You know, people do that, too, you know. And so, that's kind of the picture that I get when it's talking about that here, that's talking about animals that are doing this. Now, look at Lamentations 5. Lamentations 5. One more connection to the joy, why their dance. It's connected to that. Now, this one is kind of a negative, I guess. But look, it says, Lamentations 5:14, it says, the elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. So again, the joy of dancing, the being rejoicing in God's blessings is turned into mourning instead. So again, defining it for you in another verse. So definitely deeply connected there to being happy, being joyful. We would say happy, but being joyful or rejoicing in the fact that our lives are going good, something great has happened in our life, and therefore you do some kind of a dance. But I don't think that it's talking about some organized step dance or the river dance, you know, where you're just like, you know, playing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's not some boot scoot boogie that they're breaking into or something. You know, we stopped doing the boot scoot boogie because we're all sad, you know. It's not talking about that. So now I want to look at some verses where it's incorporating it into praise and worship of God. Look at Psalm 150, verse 4. Psalm 150, verse 4. Psalm 150, verse 4. The Bible says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. So what's the Bible saying? Well, when we praise God, you know, dance is something that we can include in that. But again, entails. So I've never seen any Baptist break out into any dance when it comes to worship. And again, I think that this is probably, you know, some sort of a public thing where maybe some victory happened, or it's at a feast or something to that effect. Or when David's doing it, some great thing is happening. What's happening? Well, they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the house of God where it belongs. Or, you know, he's bringing it from Obed-Edom, and then he's bringing it into the tabernacle. And David is dancing before the Lord with all of his might, because some great thing is happening. And it was, remember, the Ark of God was captured at that time. And then Uzzah touches the Ark because they bring it the wrong way. And then a breach is made in Uzzah, and Uzzah drops dead right there on the site. So he's killed, and David is afraid. And then he's afraid to bring it back. And then obviously reads the Bible and realizes that the Levites are the only ones that are supposed to be taking it, and they're supposed to be carrying it upon their shoulders on the staves. And so then when David brings it back, then he's dancing before the Lord. Again, what does that look like? I don't know. But it does say it, and we're going to go to those passages soon. But now look at Psalm 149. You're right there in Psalm 150. You should be able to find it real easily. Excuse me. Psalm 149, verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. And so both times you've seen it's connecting them to these musical instruments. The timbrel and the dance is connected to the timbrel and the harp here. And so that's also what it's connected with when you see Miriam do it, and that's before the congregation of the Lord after a great victory. So again, it kind of seems that that's the connection to it. Maybe it's just not in every service or some sort of dance going on, but it's like maybe a special occasion. But it says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And so when I say that that's something that you can do at home, it's like most people don't bring their beds to church. I know some of you would like to, but most people don't bring their beds to church. So, you know, because obviously in church is not the only place where we should worship God. I mean, people have been encouraged to, you know, take a hymn book home so that you can sing hymns at home or study, you know, learn the hymns at home. But, you know, you can sing songs with your family, hymns with your family. And, you know, the Bible's saying here, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds, you know. So is the church the only place where we can worship the Lord? Of course not. We can worship him wherever we're at. Miriam is doing that dance and with the timbrels and song and all that in the outside. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. And we'll look at David's account where he dances before the Lord with all of his might. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 12. We'll begin there. Give you a second to turn there. And these are basically just a lot of the positive mentions. So, does the Bible condemn all dancing? No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's a time to dance, doesn't it? So, I mean, just because it's been taught or you've heard Baptists don't dance, Baptists have never agreed with dancing or whatever, you know, if you're talking about the kind of sensual and worldly dancing, I would agree with you. I don't agree with that either. But to say that the Bible just condemns dancing altogether, that's also not true. We've looked at several passages here already. But look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom." So he sees the blessings of Obed-Edom when the ark was resting there. And David, you know, sees, it seems like he perceives that the blessings of God are back upon it. It says, "And all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness." So again, this is a time of joy, isn't it? And it says, "And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod." So he's wearing the garments that a priest would wear, not the high priest, but he's wearing a garment that a priest would wear. And of course, he pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, David does, and he's called the Son of David, even though Jesus, of course, was from before, from everlasting. But again, he's picturing, you know, it's picturing this triumph. It almost seems like it's picturing the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but it is picturing that David is also, you know, that David represents, you know, the Messiah as a priest. But what does this look like, though? David's dancing before the Lord with all of his might. What does this look like? I don't know. I mean, what do you, like, just because we picture in our mind what it's like doesn't mean that's how it was. Because we picture a lot of things in our minds when we read Bible stories. You know, I'm sure we have our own, you know, thoughts of what it might have looked like. But he does have, you know, there's this kind of, you know, like almost parade type process probably going through. And, you know, you got the Ark of God being hauled by these Levites. They go six paces and they stop. He sacrifices oxen. And then, you know, he's wearing the linen ephod. They sacrifice the oxen and the fatlings. And then David's dancing, you know. So whatever that means, whatever that looks like, I'm guessing, this is my opinion, that he's probably running back and forth and jumping up in the air and skipping and stuff. Like, I don't think, again, that it's some, you know, secret dance that nobody else knows about because it's lost to the annals of time. I just think that it's just probably random, you know, rejoicing of some sort. Anyway, that's just my opinion because the Bible doesn't actually say what he was doing, does it? When the Bible says to, you know, when it's talking about dancing, it never mentions what those moves are like, okay? It just doesn't mention it. So look at verse 15. It says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark with the Lord of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping." So he is leaping, isn't he? "And dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." She looks out, she sees her husband jumping around. It says he's leaping, right? And dancing before the Lord. So why do I think that he's just leaping and jumping around? Because that's what the Bible says, right? That's really the only description we have of the moves he's doing. Okay, I don't know if he had a great vertical leap or not, but you know, he was probably in pretty good physical condition. His own wife looks out, sees him doing this, and despises him in her heart, which of course is a wicked thing for her to do. But it says, "And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. So, I mean, this is a day of great blessing. This is what's happening. They're rejoicing. And who's not going to be happy when you get a big fat hunk of steak, you know, to take home? You get a big thing of nice, freshly squeezed grape juice to take home whenever, you know, most people are just drinking water. And then you also get a big fat loaf of bread, which is also nice. You know, people have been living on bread for many, many thousands of years. And I'm sure it was the good stuff. I'm sure it was all of fine ingredients and all that. So it's a great blessing. It says, and David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. So she's upset because apparently he's taken some of his clothes off. I mean, that's it kind of seems like that's what she's upset about. And she's jealous because he's taken, you know, he's obviously uncovered himself more than he was, you know, he was covered up and then uncovered himself, right? Isn't that what it says? And in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants. So other women, you know, that have seen him have seen maybe things that she doesn't want him to see. That's his wife. And so that's what she's really upset about. And then it seems like she's upset that he's dancing around, and she probably thinks he looked like a fool or something. I don't know. But she's upset about it. And she's saying that he's being shameful when he uncovered himself. Now, the Bible doesn't say he was naked or, you know, that he stripped off more than he should have or anything like that. But she does compare him to people, to vain fellows that shamelessly uncover themselves or himself. So she's talking about men that just want to show off their beach bods and their guns and their six packs, and you know that they're just out to shamelessly show their bodies to people and to women, you know, because you know women get a lot of flack for, you know, taking off more than they should and not covering up and stuff, but men, you know, they can be pretty vain also. And that's what she's talking about. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me. Now, let's just take that first statement first. It was before the Lord. So whether this statement is, you know, I don't think that David had any ill will whatsoever. I don't think that he's even wrong for what he did. But let's just take this statement, though. There's a lot of people that do things and they say it was for God that really isn't for God, that really God would not be happy about. It's like these Christian rock bands that are saying that they're just doing it for God when none of their lyrics mention God in them one time. How are you a Christian rock band and none of your songs say Jesus or God or preach any kind of message in them whatsoever, and then you say you're a Christian band? They're so vague because really they just didn't make it in Hollywood or whatever. They didn't make it in the music industry. And so they're like the leftovers that are pretty good, but just didn't get good enough to be, you know, completely in Satan's like top 10 or whatever. And, you know, they say, but they, people go, they're serving the Lord. They did it for the Lord. And it's like, well, how so? How is it for the Lord? And again, I'm not saying that David is like doing something wrong, but his, you know, what he says first off is it was before the Lord, and he's probably right. He is right. I think that what he did is right. But there's also that side of him where he's lashing out at his wife right here, all the other stuff he says. But just because you think that you're doing something for God, you have to check whether that's right or not. Because the last time he brought the ark of the Lord to the house, tried to bring it to the house of God, one of his friends, one of his servants, one of his main soldiers got killed, and then he was afraid of the Lord because of that. It says he was afraid of the Lord that day because, and he was kind of angry that God would kill Uzzah. Because why? And why did he kill him? Because he reached forth to stop it from falling on the ground. Doesn't that seem like a good thing? Like, you don't want the ark to come crashing down on the ground and break. That's a good deed. Why would God kill him? Because they didn't do it after the due order. See, God does want us to do things right, and he wants us to do things for the right reasons, but just because you think it's right, and just because you think you're doing it for God, or just because you think that that person or that thing is some godly thing to do, doesn't mean that it actually is. So this is something that we really do have to be careful with, because just because you haven't got to the point in the Bible where it teaches against that specific thing, it doesn't mean that it's not wrong. So I'm just, you know, pointing that out. But let's look at the rest of what he says here, because she's mad that he, you know, maybe showed his guns, or maybe got down to his tank top or something. I don't know. Anyway, his ephod tank top. But it says it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. It's kind of a rude thing. It's like, you know, he chose me before thy father, before all his house. You know, it's not too bad, but again, you know, he's fighting back with her. He comes home to bless his house, and his wife is just nagging him right when he walks in the door. And that's pretty annoying too, right? You know, he's just like, I just blessed everybody. Everybody's happy. You know, the carts come back. You know, everybody's gotten all the vittles that they could carry home, the big fat steaks and all that. And then he comes home, and his wife's like, oh, David, you know, and she's all just mad at him, right? And you know, that's just not what you want to walk home to when, and you're like, hey, everybody, I'm home. And it's just like, she's like staring him down, you know. It's just, you know, so I get to understand why he was a little irritated. But, you know, sometimes it's best to just leave those things for later. You know, let David come home and bless you. And, you know, it's wrong for a wife to despise her husband in her heart. It is. You know, just because they do something that's annoying, just because they're chewing the way that you don't like, or they have some odd habit that you don't like, you know, guess what? You probably have some habits that they don't like too. And we don't always say something. Maybe you do. But we just have to learn to dwell together with annoying habits. And if it's so bad that you just can't handle it, then maybe just nicely bring it up or something. But, you know, some people just have tics. People have weird things about them, annoying things. But just remember, you have annoying things about you too. So, but she despised him in his heart because she probably thought he looks like an idiot dancing out there in front of everybody. Probably what it was. She despised him in her heart, and it's just wrong to despise your husband. And that, look, this little dance routine really ended their relationship. And I'm not saying that David was wrong, because the Bible doesn't say David was wrong. The Bible just records what happened. So it doesn't really help, you know. I think that there's wrong done on both sides when it comes to their interaction at the end, because she never has children with David. And, you know, he fought pretty hard to win this woman to be his wife. You know, Saul asked for 100 foreskins of the Philistines, and he gave him 200. He's like, you know, let's give him 200. I just want to make sure that the dowry is, you know, correct or whatever. But, you know, this ruined their relationship. But maybe David did take off more than he should have. I don't really know, but she's saying that it happened. He doesn't deny that it happened. But, you know, when you're dancing around and jumping around, you can get kind of sweaty. You know, I'm not wearing my jacket right now because I'm, you know, while I was wearing it, I was just like, I already know I'm at thermonuclear, you know, whatever. And so I'm already sweating with the jacket on. I know it's just going to get worse. I just took it off. But, you know, I'm covered, okay? I didn't take it off, and it's just my tank top, right? So I'm not saying that he did that either. I'm just saying that we should be mindful about things like that. So maybe he should have been mindful about those things, but, you know, maybe she just, I don't know. It's hard to know who was right with that part of the situation, But overall, I think David was not wrong to do what he was doing. So I don't think he was dancing in some wrong, like, sensual way or something like that. So, you know, it just might, it may seem like a, you know, as a Baptist, sometimes it just might, I don't know, this subject and some of the subjects that I've covered in this series, it's like, sometimes I just wonder, like, are people like, Pastor, can we do anything that's fun? Are we allowed to do anything fun? Because sometimes it seems like people kind of push back and feel that way sometimes. Like, are we just supposed to only do stuff for church? And, you know, of course we can do other things. There's plenty of other things we can do. But, you know, just because you want to keep doing something that God doesn't want you to do doesn't mean that we can't do anything else. Maybe you should just find some new hobbies that aren't sinful, you know. But it does feel that way sometimes. It's like, are you just against everything, Pastor Thompson? Do you just hate everything? Anything that's fun? Well, I mean, first of all, again, dancing's not the thing that I find fun, but I guarantee you there'll be comments or something or emails where it's like, Pastor, didn't you know that, you know, the ancient Israelis, you know, they did this. Well, I know, I've seen their Mazel Tov dances and stuff that they do still. But just like everything else that the modern Israelis do, I doubt that is some kind of tradition that's really brought forward. But is their little dance sinful looking? Not really. I mean, maybe that is what it was. I don't know. Well, they're just dancing a jig or whatever and grabbing each other's arms and spinning around. I don't know. It doesn't seem super sinful, but, you know, they are Jews, so they're doing a lot of other bad stuff. So, I don't know. It doesn't look inherently sinful, but, you know, maybe that's the one thing that they're not wrong about. I don't know. But anyway, so I just say this, that have you just considered that maybe some things that you're doing are, you know, things that you just need to find new hobbies to do, you know, instead of just focusing on the thing, well, I don't want to go to this church anymore because I just can't do any fun stuff. You mean like fornicating, you know, dancing at clubs and getting tattoos and drinking alcohol and, you know, all these other things. Like, well, you can't, are you just that uninteresting that you just can't find anything better to do? Like, that shouldn't be the way that you think. Because if you want to please God, then you should want to do the things that are pleasing to Him and not just kick back on everything that He says to do. So let's look at verse 22. It says, and here's where David really kind of goes downhill. He says, I will be more vile than thus and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, I shall, or of them shall I be had in honor. Now, there's where he's going way too far, because it sounds like he's saying something that he shouldn't be saying there, right? Not cool, not a cool thing to say to your wife. I don't know if he took them as concubines later, and just because, like, they don't have, you know, this is the end of their happy marriage right here. So, and here's the thing. Most marriages can get over little tiffs like this. This really isn't that big in the grand scheme of things that could happen in a marriage. But for whatever reason, this was the end of their happy marriage. Even though he made her come home later on when she's married to another person, this other guy, and then she's like taking care of this guy's other kids, but she never has children of her own, and he still makes her come back later on just to prove a point or whatever. You know, He really doesn't deal with her very well. I just think that this is a bad marriage situation totally on both their parts. She was wrong for the way she addressed him, but he was also wrong for the way that he was talking to her. And again, David doesn't say he danced wrong. The Bible doesn't say that. But how he danced did upset his wife and did make her jealous. And it seems like he did take some clothes off and revealed himself a little bit, apparently. But, you know, one thing I know that David didn't do when he danced, I know that he didn't dance the polka. I know that. I know he didn't moonwalk. I know he didn't do the mashed potato or the boot scoot boogie or any of those other dances when he was dancing. He wasn't dancing in some worldly fashion. You know, there's a song by this Baptist group called The Darts that we've had for a long time in our, CD that we had from a long time ago. And that was the name of the song, I Wonder If David Danced the Polka. Because that's like this, I don't know, it's just a style of dance that you do to like what is it, a Midwestern thing, Brother Billy? You know about these things. You're from there. Do you know what the polka is? And they play the, like, the, what is that?
The Lawrence Welk Show.
Yeah. See, so, like, you guys might not know because that's not a thing over here, but, like, at Oktoberfest or something, there probably would be something. But the polka is just, like, a style of dance. But, you know, again, the point is that David was not just doing some worldly dancing. So now let's turn over to Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21. So, I mean, the one instance where you see Dave, I mean, just clearly a man after God's own heart, King David, he's dancing before the Lord with all his might. Again, I think that what he's doing is fine. And again, it's in a situation, in a joyous situation. It kind of matches everything we've already seen of the positive mentions of dancing in the Bible, except for the fact that his wife and him never talk to or never have children because of it. But, you know, again, who's to blame? That's up to you to decide, but the Bible just tells us what happened. So anyway, Job chapter 21, verse 11 says, they send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. That might be the polka, but no, I'm just kidding. But so here again is just another mention of, you know, now it's talking about little children dancing, and then it again mentions the timbrel and harp. You know, so again, it's probably some sort of, I don't know, it's maybe it is, there was some kind of organized dance to it, but again, not sinful. So, you know, we have grandchildren now, and, you know, it's nice to see little children growing up around us again. And so Sissy, she'll dance to anything. She'll just like, she'll be bumping to hymns. She's just like, you know, she'll just like boogie and get down to them and all that stuff. And I see a lot of kids do that stuff when you know, and it's cute. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. So when we were in England, I didn't even ask for permission about this, but like the girls were watching something. It was like some kids show or something. And Nia had sent us a couple of videos. I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this, but she just sent us videos of the kids like dancing to these little kid songs or whatever. It was just really cute. Hannah's just kind of like just going up and down like this. And, you know, they're just, it was just really cute. It wasn't sinful though. You know, it's not like they're, you know, doing some kind of sinful, wicked dance. It's just them dancing. Nobody's teaching them anything. They're not learning some dance move somewhere. It's just kids just dancing to some benign song. It's not, you know, Justin Timberlake or, you know, some pop song, some popular pop song or something. So, you know, it was just cute. And children love to rejoice at the sound of music and, you know, dance their little dances. And this is what I imagine, though, which, again, it's my imagination, that God loves, though. This is my opinion. Is people rejoicing and being joyful and jumping around and skipping to music is basically what he's talking about. So, and then, you know, maybe some organized choreographed dance with modest clothing being done would be acceptable. But again, we're not going to do this. If you come to me next week, you're like, Pastor, I have the choreographed things that we're going to do in the next service. I'm going to be like, yeah, probably not. But in heaven, you can take this to Jesus and present it before him. Maybe he'll let you do it. I don't know. I just, you know. You're like, well, you're just saying everything that you're saying, that dancing's okay, you're just dismissing. And I'm just like, well, I just, you know, maybe I just need to learn more about this, okay? But I just, is my mic off? I just want to show you the verses of what it says. So, but my belief as the pastor of Sure Foundation Baptist Church is that I'll just enjoy children dancing and singing hymns and skipping around. And I'll just vicariously live through their worship. Because didn't Jesus say that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I was perfected praise? Like, so maybe, you know, he's perfected praise through their little dancing too. You know, maybe that's what God really likes. I don't know. But obviously people, adults did it before or whatever. But I just, you know, I don't want to do something that I don't know for sure is the way it's supposed to be done. So, and I just take the position that Christ will lay out exactly what we're supposed to do, and I'll just dance then. So, and people are like, well, Pastor, I think you should do it now. Well, you're the priest of your own home. You're the king of your own home, so you do whatever you want to do at home. You know, but knock yourself out. I mean, I'm not going to judge you, so just don't video it and send it to me, okay? So, all right, let's move on. I don't have a lot of time to go through the rest of this, but let's see. Well, we'll turn to Judges chapter 21. This is kind of like a who knows whether this is right or not kind of passage. But Judges chapter 21, it's like the children of Benjamin, you know, they refused to give up the Sodomites that had killed this woman, this priest's wife, or I mean concubine, and he chopped her up, sent her off, and then the children of Belial that they refused to give up. And so basically the children of Benjamin have almost been completely wiped out as a tribe. And they don't want them to be wiped out as a tribe. And so they devised this plan and to build back up their population by allowing them to take wives, but they had already sworn that they would not give their daughters to them to be wives. So like they're kind of in this pickle where they're like, to be our daughters to be wives to them, so how are they going to live on? So look at verse 19, it says, "Then they said, behold, there's a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Labona. Therefore, they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see and behold if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances." So it's the daughters of Shiloh, they come out to dance in dances. "Then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin." So I've never seen this kind of way of getting wives before. I've never experienced this or seen this in put to use in America. I'm pretty sure that you'd probably go to prison for doing that if you tried to do that right now. But this is the plan that they came up with. So only these women, if they came out to dance, you know, they're hiding in the vineyard, like waiting to jump out and catch their wives and take them to Benjamin, okay? Sounds weird, right? But just because the Bible records something doesn't mean it's right. So this is just one of those examples. And in the book of Judges, every man did which was right in their own eyes a lot of times, right? And it actually says that at the end of this chapter. But, you know, it seems to me that they're at a feast of the Lord, they're at Shiloh, and then, so it's a special occasion, you know, and God wanted people to enjoy the feast of the Lord, and so they have these ladies that came out to dance. Now, what does that tell you, though? They're probably not married. They're probably maidens. You know, obviously, they're not going to say, hey, grab that married woman and take her to Benjamin. These are obviously not women that are married. So, and it says, verse 22, "And it shall be when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we'll say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war, nor ye did not give unto them at this time, that ye should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance, repaired their cities, and dwelt in them." So, I mean, the moral of the story is, we don't know what... I mean, how do you discern whether this is right or not? You really can't. How I would... The way is, you know, she goes out to dance in some dance, and then, you know, all of a sudden some dude jumps out of the bushes and says, you're my wife now, and then takes her home. Like, I don't know. But that's why, you know, it was just one of the instances of dancing in the Bible, and I just felt like I needed to add that in there. So, now of course, we have a couple really negative aspects. We've barely got time to keep going here, but, you know, there's always this push, though, against... the mic. You just come up and just make me do it. All right. I kept thinking that the mic was going out. You guys got to say something. Like, anyway, just give me some sign language. Okay. All right. So, but there's always this push to push back against the traditional things. And you know, there's movies been made like Dirty Dancing, you know, where they're pushing back against social norms. And even though that movie was made in like the 80s, it's set in the 50s. Where, you know, that kind of dancing was, of course, very forbidden. and very, you know, it was looked down upon. And then, you know, of course, you got the famous line where he's like, nobody puts baby in the corner. And, you know, this, he like stands up for her, even though she's a hoe. And, you know, they're doing like these abortions. They're hiring this doctor to do abortions at the camp and all this other stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's those kind of things are what brainwashes people into thinking that kind of stuff's okay, including the dancing. And then you got the movie Footloose, which I've never actually seen before. Amazingly enough, I'm an 80s kid that never saw Footloose or the new one. Apparently there's a newer one. But from what I understand, it's like a pushback against like Baptists that don't allow dancing. Who's seen that movie? Like you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but you can. I'm not going to like kick you out of church or anything. Just wink once if you've seen it. No. Completely close your eyes and then open. No, I'm just joking. But apparently, you know, from what I've heard about the movie, that it's just like basically just saying Baptists are a bunch of, you know, no fun people, and it's really best if you just let your foot loose or whatever, and then you just, you know, all these choreographed dances or something. Like, I've seen the commercial for it or whatever, like when it came out, but it's just not something that interested me. So again, I don't like dancing that much, so not a big deal. But these kind of stories, though, they stir up rebellion in people's hearts and make people think that religion is just wrong or bad, or I can't believe that they wouldn't allow dancing. Like, what's wrong with it? Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong at a dance club where people are taking ecstasy and Molly or whatever kind of drug that's making people hallucinate and have these sensual feelings, and you're dancing and you're the rhythm of the music. And some, you know, rave clubs were some big, you know, fad at the time when I was growing up. I'm glad I never went to one. Again, I don't dance, but it just wasn't my scene, you know. But that was a big thing when I was growing up, but I just never went to them. But you know, it is something that, you know, you can get wrapped up in, and the next thing you know, you're losing your mind over it, or you're losing your virginity over it, or you're losing your purity over it, or you're getting some kind of disease from it, or it's wrecking your mind. You know, it's not just, you know, God is going to judge sin. He really is. And so you're like, well, are you saying that dancing is sinful? I'm saying that worldly dancing is sinful. The type of dancing that we see in the world today is not the type of dancing it's talking about in the Bible. That much I do know. You're like, well, how do you know? Because the type of music that we listen to isn't the same type of music that the world listens to. When's the last time you saw someone bumping Amazing Grace down the street? Or How Great Thou Art, and then it's like, you pull up to somebody, and it's just like, and they're like, then sings my soul, and then it's like, hold on, this is the best part, and they crank it up, my say, you know, when's the last time you saw that? You know why they don't do that? Because it doesn't sound like the world, that's why. And, you know, maybe you've done that because you're a Baptist. I know I've done that. We've rolled up playing our greatest hits, and it wasn't Eminem, and it wasn't, you know, Snoop Dogg. It was some song that we like that's Christian. So I'm just saying that there's a difference between God's music and the world's music. There's a difference between what God deems okay in dancing and what the world is okay with dancing. But God does condemn worldly dancing. There's no doubt about that. So in Mark chapter 6, I won't have you turn there, but the story of how John the Baptist got his head cut off. It's Herod's birthday. He makes a feast for his lords. And then his stepdaughter dances, you know, which is, I think, his brother Philip's daughter, which might, or I don't know. It just says, you know, it's his wife's daughter, which may or may not be his brother's daughter, because he stole his brother's wife, right? That's why she wants to kill him. And so she dances in front of him and his lords. Do you think that she was doing some kind of traditional religious dance? Or do you think that she was dancing in a way that pleased him and pleased everybody else to the point where he's like, I'll give you half my kingdom. This guy's a wicked person. You know, at the time, He was kind of okay with John. But remember that Jesus Christ refused to keep talking to him. Herod mistreated Christ. And for, you know, but this is, of course, this is before Christ, you know, that all that happened. But once, you know, this happened and she asked, hey, what, he's like, what can you give me? And then she asked her mom and she said the head of John the Baptist on a charger by and by. And so John the Baptist had his head cut off because this little floozy danced in front of them. And Mama, who was a wicked person, asked for the head of the greatest man born among women in this whole world, John the Baptist. So, I mean, and you're like, well, how do you know that was worldly dancing? Come on. Do you think that these were like godly people that are just at some feast or something? Like Herod's like having a praise and worship and then all of a sudden his stepdaughter comes out? No. This is worldly, wicked style dancing. And then the last thing, of course, and I will have you turn here though. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32. And this is just clear cut that this type of dancing is sinful. It's one of my favorite, you know, stories of Moses. You know, he gets angry a few times in the Bible, but this is my favorite part when he comes down from Mount Sinai and the people have already played the fool and he has to clean up the camp here. But what's interesting, though, to me, you know, and here's the thing. One thing can lead to another because nobody's going to dance without music. Because have you noticed that everything in the, that was good when it came to dancing, music is involved in it? And it's God's music. So the Psalms are God's music, isn't it? So when they're dancing to God's music. So if it's God's music, they're not dancing in a wicked, sinful way. But when you're listening to the world's music, then what's the dancing going to be like? It's going to be some kind of heavy rhythm. You know, this is where rock and roll came from. Rock and roll was like a heavy rhythm and blues. And, you know, it was known as the devil's music when it first came out. I mean, Robert Johnson was said to have made a deal with the devil to be the best guitar player in the world. And he left, like these are people's testimonies. He left and he couldn't play the guitar worth anything. He comes back and he could play like nobody's ever seen before. And this is like way back in like, I think it was like in the 20s or something. But anyway, the point is that, you know, bad music, bad dancing. One thing is going to lead to the other. So look at Exodus 32, verse 17. It says, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, because they've been up on Mount Sinai, Joshua hears this. He says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. So, I mean, just picture this. You hear something that sounds like war, like people are fighting, right? And it says, and he said, it is not the, this is Moses replying to him, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. So why is Joshua thinking that the singing that he's hearing sounds like war? Maybe because it's like, sorry, kids. Sorry, babies. That woke you up. All right. So maybe that's what it sounded like. Maybe that's why Joshua, you know, sorry. I just wanted to wake you all up before the end of the service. So anyway, but for the narcoleptics in here. But maybe that's why Joshua, you know, thought there was a voice of war in the camp because Pantera was playing, you know, down in the camp or something, because it was some kind of, I don't know exactly what they were singing, but most of the time when I hear singing, I don't assume that there's some kind of war happening. When I walk in here and I hear music of God's people, it doesn't sound like there's a battle going on where people are fighting and shouting for mastery. Like, ah, you know, where they're like, you know, swinging swords and things like that. And it says they're shouting, right? So this is what Joshua's hearing. He mistakes it for war. Just like you're going to mistake any like death metal band. I'm not saying it was, because they obviously didn't have the amps and all that stuff, but it's something that doesn't sound like God's music. And it says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf. So they, this has come from idol worship. They chose themselves other gods that that God, you know, he just left and just went up to get God's commandments, and they come back and they've already got another god. It's calves, these golden calves they're worshiping. And it says he saw the calf, and what's the next thing he saw? And the dancing. And the dancing. So he sees the dancing, and what, that's the last straw, right? Because then what's the next thing it says? And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. He takes the original manuscripts, smashes them into a million pieces. Now we'll never know what the Bible actually said. No, I'm kidding. Of course we know what the Bible actually said, because God had him rewrite them later. But the point is that that's how mad he was. And because he saw what? The dancing. First it was the music, though. And so they're not dancing to nothing. They're dancing to something that doesn't sound like God's music. And they're dancing in a way that Moses saw that made him really upset. And he's so upset that, you know, people die after this, right? God says for them to kill, you know, the people that are responsible for this. Probably not for the dancing, but probably for the idol worship, obviously. But it says, and he took the calf that they had made and burned it in the fire, and ground it in powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Yuck. That's not the milkshake you want. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. And he said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this, for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. Yeah, like it just magically just, you know, materialized out of nowhere. So, and then it says, and when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. So that's part of the dance, you know, that's the other part that slips is, you know, the worldly dancing, then comes the nakedness, right? So, and Moses stood in the gate at the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let them come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate and from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So, I mean, the dancing, the music, the idol worship, all these things combined. I mean, because, you know, really, if someone just has this attitude that's, especially someone that's saved, that, you know, I'm just going to do whatever I want. Well, you know, that's what this, their attitude was too. As soon as Moses is gone, as soon as the boss, you know, of the camp is gone, they just do whatever they want. And look, we ought to not, as Christians, we ought to not have this attitude that whenever we're not at church, we can just kind of live our life however we want. God's not okay with that. And when Moses saw the dancing, that's when he flipped out. That was the last straw, wasn't it? And again, so certain types of dancing are not wrong. We've already seen that this morning. But, you know, there are certain types of music that are ungodly. That's why Moses was angry, because that music also led to the dancing, which, of course, was started by the idolatry. Just a few verses, and I'm going to end. But you know, the Bible talks about in James, go ahead and turn to, let's actually just look at 1 John. Just turn to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read James 3:13. It says, who is a wise man and dude of knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. You know, don't be bitter and have strife in your heart about the things of God. And, you know, because that will, you know, a lot of times when people have this bitter envy, you know, they lie, they want to lie about the truth, you know, they want to just make excuses of why it's okay and that they don't believe that anymore. But in reality, that's not true. You don't really feel that way. You just want a reason to do what you want to do. The Bible says this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So when we lie against the truth, The reality is it's devilish wisdom. It's earthly and it's sensual. Now, what if you're like the person that says, but I love dancing to worldly music. I love playing Just Dance. You know, I love that video game. I love going to the arcade and playing it, you know, and whatever. Well, the Bible says, where I had you turn, it says 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, you know what? We're not supposed to care about those things because they're gonna go away. You know, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's not of God. And so if you're choosing those things over what, you know, the life that God wants you to lead, then it's wrong. And the Bible says not to despise prophesying, prove all things. Like, how am I supposed to, you know, how do I know what's worldly, Pastor? How do I know what type of dancing is worldly? Well, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. The Bible will tell you what is wrong and what is right. It says to abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And, you know, God, you know, how do you know what's right? Read the Bible and be led by the Holy Spirit. That's how you know. You know, should I go out and take dance lessons where I'm going to have another man touch me if I'm a woman? Well, what is the, you know, you should already know that that's not something that God wants you to do. So just to close it off, dancing for joy or in worship is clearly okay in the Bible. The Bible says there's a time to dance, and there is a time for it. So, and then also worldly dancing and music should be avoided. One leads to the other. And then the last thing is that let the Word of God and the Spirit guide you. So, and you know, if you need help to prove what's good and acceptable in God's eyes, you know, try not to just fit in what you think, but try to change your mind and think what God thinks. And that's the thing that's going to help you the most. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the Word of God and how much it can guide us and teach us. Lord, I pray that we would just have good hearts about whatever it is that we struggle with. And Lord, you know, people's struggle might not be with dancing, but it might be with something else. I pray, Lord, that you just help us with the vices that have a hold of our heart and the high places that maybe nobody knows about. But I pray that you would just help us with those things, Lord. Help us to get victory and help us to overcome as Christians the things that are besetting sins. And I pray that you just bless our soul winning out today and our return to church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.